Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day, and for the next 6 weeks beyond tonight, we're going to be at this time, which is 8:30 U.S. Eastern Time, Daylight Time. And in Brisbane, Australia, where Kat is, it is 10:30 in the morning on Monday. So we will be at this time. You can count forward 7 weeks from now will be the last time, and then we'll go back to our usual time of 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight U.S. time. So with that said, tonight we're going to talk about how we can shift from being reactive to being proactive in our lives, relationships, communications, situations, whatever. And so please feel free to participate or just to listen, whatever is your pleasure. We don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but we encourage your input. If you're willing to press one and get into the queue, we'd love to have you. So, Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing well too. I'm well rested, which is a nice feeling, and in good spirits. So that's a nice feeling too. And tonight,
yes, that is a nice feeling.
Yes, I don't feel at all reactive. I feel like I'm in the flow of things, given the topics that we have. I don't know about you, but I was throwing a curveball many years ago when I got into my current relationship. I thought that I had learned things like patience and fortitude and empathy and all of these good things that accompany relationships. And I got involved with someone 25 years younger than me who didn't have a good grasp on some of those qualities and would tend to be and can still be somewhat reactive in nature. And the challenge for me has been not to match that with reactivity of my own. And in the beginning, I was not so successful with that. And I realized, you know, David, you've still got some lessons to learn around this stuff. So I'm learning to be more proactive, and of course we're going to talk about how we can shift from being reactive to being proactive tonight. So would you like to start off, Kat?
Okay, well let's look at what being reactive is. I think that's probably a good place to start, wouldn't you think? Because it's a sort of instinctual action, isn't it, David?
Yes, it certainly
the way
is.
That you are.
Yep.
Yeah. And it comes from the subconscious. But it also, I would also argue that being reactive also comes from other pressures. And they could be external pressures that you have, say, for example, time. You have to be somewhere or do something by a certain time or a deadline. There could be social pressures on you, cultural pressures on you that can cause you to react. And it can be very, very difficult not to react when you're in such a situation. But also I would say that there are certain times in life that people encourage others to react rather than to think carefully and respond, and then from response become proactive. And that too is not helpful when you have some voices in your head that are telling you to an expectation that really is not in alignment with a positive outcome, but others expect you would do that, you know. For example, you find out that your lover is cheating on you. There's a kind of unwritten societal message that the reaction to that should be aggression, throwing their clothes out the window, and instant hatred. but that may not necessarily be, yeah, and then you flip a switch and now you're after them, you're sending them, you know, you've gone to the butcher and you're sending them off meat in the mail. I've heard all sorts of stories of people. I think there's one woman who got stood up on a date, so she went to the butcher and got a pig's head and dressed it all up and sent it to him. Really? Yeah, I mean, that's premeditated, you know.
Yeah, I'd say.
But it doesn't grow you. It doesn't grow you. And the action has done. The lover has cheated. It's not going to change that. So you've got a choice. You can attack and hate and hurt, or you can accept that you are now hurt, that this action has happened, and now you're going to respond with a counter move that keeps everything in focus. Because if you're saying you're in a long-term relationship, your money's entwined, maybe you have children or animals that are as children. You know, there's a lot to consider as to what you're going to do next. Is the relationship over, or is this a symptom of a sickness in the relationship? Are you going to choose to kill the relationship, or are you going to choose to discuss the relationship and look for a way forward? Is the person who's done the cheating adamant that they're finished with you because they're not in love with you anymore and the relationship isn't working and the cheating was a way of killing the relationship? Or are they truly sorry and they want to sort it out? Like, you're better off to, and obviously that's a hypothetical, and there's multiple situations in which you have a choice to react or respond. But I guess that the main thing is that you have a choice, and you always have a choice. And in reaction, the action that goes with reaction often leads to some sort of destructive situation. Whereas in response, the action that goes with response leads to proactivity, which then leads to a constructive situation. Would that be making sense, David? Would you agree with that?
It does make sense. You know, as you were talking, I was Googling, and I have two very short statements about proactive approaches and reactive approaches that I thought I'd share. And it talks about how a proactive approach focuses on eliminating problems before they have a chance to appear, and then, as you have been saying, a reactive approach is based on responding to events after they've happened. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. It also goes on to say that being reactive means you don't take any initiative or make strategic decisions in your life. You go where life kicks you, and then you react what happens to you. And usually that's not a positive thing. That really jives with some of the things that you've been sharing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes an action, it happens that is done by someone who's innocent, and you have to be bigger, stronger, wiser, and kinder. And for an example, parenthood will throw up what I call the punami, which is when the baby does an explosion poo that leaves the nappy and ends up halfway up their back and all the way down their legs and everywhere. And this punami will occur when you're running late. It is Murphy's Law, and it will happen to every single parent. You're running late. The Poon Army is coming. What are you going to do? You can go ballistic on the child, which won't change the Poon Army. You've still got to clean it up. You may be in the car when it happens or just about to leave, but it's going to happen. So the answer is that the person at the other end, the appointment that you've made, they have to wait. You have to put it into perspective as what is the most important thing to do right now. And that's the mindfulness that you have to, a mindful approach that you have to take in any situation where you need to respond rather than react. The child can't help the Poon Army. It happens to every child. The parent can't help that the child had the Poon Army. It happens to every parent. The person at the other end, if they've never had children, will still understand because they don't want to be the person who has to clean up the Poon Army, and when they hear about it, they'll understand. And if they don't, then they're not worth your time anyway. So you do what you can. You shower the child, you clean the mess up, and then you get going. You're 10 minutes late, so what? I mean, that's happened to me plenty of times, and I'm pretty sure if you did a survey of all the parents of the world everywhere, even people who are living in nomadic indigenous places, you know, in the Amazon or something, they've all had the Poon Army experience. So that's just one time, you know, that I can think of in my life where I've had to choose to respond and be proactive rather than react, because it's not going to change it. I mean, that's the thing you've got to think. When a situation occurs, you've got to take a deep breath. You've got to put it all in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got a situation before you. You've got to be a grown-up about it. And I guess really what we're talking about, would you agree, is taking a child approach or taking an adult approach. And to react and go off your brain is taking a childish approach, whereas being proactive and to respond and be proactive is taking an adult approach and is the answer towards a solution that is going to cause a positive outcome.
I would agree.
Plenty of ideas. Yeah. And explore what it feels like to be in that reactionary place. How does it feel like to you?
It kind of feels like a fire. It feels like somebody has struck a match and that I'm suddenly on fire when I react. There's nothing constructive going on. It's very, you know, I would assume that the reptilian part of my brain is being triggered. But what happens is when I go into reactivity, I do not give myself a chance to think, contemplate, take time out, or even to breathe. And I think it's really important if I'm going to move in the direction of proactivity to take some deep breaths and to take a brief time out and try to place myself in a more neutral, objective position. And this is a hard thing to do in the heat of the moment because the temptation for me is to return like with like. And if somebody is throwing shit at me, my tendency is to throw it back. And so if I'm going to take the adult approach that you talked about, I might be better served by asking what might be making this other person behave in this manner, what might they be thinking, try to put myself in their shoes, which takes me out of my own stuff. And boy, that is such a hard thing to do. I find that it's more helpful for me or more constructive and more practical for me to just take a time out and walk away for a few moments until I can get charge of myself, take charge of my emotions, and then return and speak to the other person in statements, feeling statements, so that I'm not casting blame, but I'm saying, you know, when you say this to me, it makes me feel this way, and I want to try to see where we can find common ground, something to that effect. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's when I feel reactionary, I agree with you. I feel like it's a fire, but it's more in the, and it will be that reptilian part of my brain as well. It sort of sets alight this anger helmet that goes over my head and over my eyes, and then I feel my face begin to tighten and my mouth begin to tighten, and then the anger that's in my subconscious mind wells up through my body, and I can feel it, and it wants to force itself out through my voice box. It wants to pierce the brain of the other person with the laser beams from my eyes, and I feel extremely aggressive.
Mm.
So I try to avoid it because I'm not a very tall person, but I've had a lot of reasons to feel angry, and I am the kind of person that bottles things up. So if it's triggered, I would rather go and scream into a pillow or go for a drive and release it
mm-hmm.
in my car parked somewhere
mm-hmm.
than release it onto another human being or mm-hmm. animal or a plant or anyone living. So I'm extremely cautious about my own reactions because I know that in myself. I'm aware of myself. I became aware of my anger when I was about 23, and I consciously decided that I was not going to live my life as an angry person. So I therefore decided that I would work on catching myself whenever I felt like that feeling was coming up. And then I'd breathe through it and try and see the situation for what it was and try and understand for what it was. How that's come through the years is that there are times now when there's a situation that comes up and I don't understand, and instead of igniting that anger, I've kind of cut myself from it a little bit. I've created a buffer so I don't hurt the other person, but I may just be ignorant and the other person will be suffering because I'm like, I don't know, I don't understand, I need to walk away, please leave me alone, you're confusing me, I need space. And I just have to go away from them. So that can be frustrating for other people, but if they knew the swamp monster within me, they'd be happy for that.
Yeah,
I
can relate. I'm relating to a lot of this. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's just the last thing I was going to say. I think it's a growth thing for somebody to be consistently responding and being proactive and never having an experience of reaction. I think you deserve a medal. I can't imagine anyone who's never ever in that situation where they feel like they want to just find the nearest cricket bat and whack you over the head. It's driving you, drive me nuts, or the situation's making me angry. You know, it's very hard. So, anyone who's listening, David and I, not by any means expecting that we're not people who react. We've just learned how to deal with ourselves. Would you agree? I think we've...
Well, I'm a work in progress, and it sounds like you are too. You know, I've learned a lot of things about myself over the years, thank God. And one of them is that I have had a tendency in my past to not be true to my feelings, to not allow them expression, to stuff them, to act them out in different ways. And one of the ways that I can act them out is through reacting. That is a release for anger that's pent up and stored within me that I have previously stuffed. And so I was really relating to what you were saying, Kat, about the anger thing, and about how that can come out inappropriately at points. And then watch out if you're in my way, if you've triggered something, you're going to get a lot of anger that isn't necessarily meant for you. It's meant for a lot of different things and a lot of different people, but you're going to get it. And so, I mean, that's been something that I've had to deal with in my past as part of my reactivity, is coming to terms with the fact that, you know, I've got some anger issues and I've got some unresolved anger that I need to deal with. And so I have been dealing with that. And I put most of that to rest, thank God. But it's still very easy to be triggered. And that's why I think it's important to take a time out. And I like what you were saying about that. That's what I really need to do for myself. Before I talk to the other person, I need to say, okay, time out. I want to talk to you, but not at this moment. And then go and try to think things through. Sometimes it's helpful for me to talk things over with an objective person, another person, before I go back to the person I have an issue with. One of the things it says here is that, well, I'm going to stop looking at the Google thing. I think that what I need to do is focus on trying to arrive at a place where we're both able to be heard. And you can't do that when there's a reactivity situation going on. Nobody gets heard. The only person that you hear is the angry voice that lies in your head that gets triggered by the other angry voice. And there's no meeting of the minds. So that's not a win-win situation. I think it's important to think in terms of win-win. And beginning with whatever the end is that you have in mind and working towards that instead of getting caught up with the heat of the moment. I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm going around and around the mulberry bush.
No, I like what you're saying about the win-win. It's really important. We all want a peaceful, healthy environment. We all need it. There might be adrenaline junkies out there and people who like live music, but really when it boils down to it, we need a peaceful, loving home that's quiet, that has quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And our environment at work, at play, it needs to also have elements of controlled peace, and because that's when the ego feels safe and secure, and with that safe, secure ego, the heart and the mind can come out to play, and then you can really have a fantastic experience. When the ego is not safe and secure, it's going to dominate, and that's when you're going to have all kinds of terrible behaviors and rough experiences, and you don't want that. But, you know, even if you are a person who is walking down the street and somebody attacks you, you have a choice to react or respond. Now, to respond would be to fight back in the way you know how, for example, or a response would be to submit and let them take your handbag and then call the police. Just depends on the training that you have and the level of knowledge that you have and the kind of personality that you have. When I was assaulted at the beginning of the year at acting class, I chose to go very quiet and to look at the people in the group where I was standing, that one of the people in the group had assaulted me, and I said that I had an injury and not to touch my body. And I continued with the situation in a calm manner. And I then went and spoke to the teacher and went forward from there. I don't know if it was the correct decision. Maybe I should have made a big fuss and might have actually caused a better outcome for myself. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes you hear these people who jump up and down, they get more notice as well, David. It's hard to know. You know, for me, I've got a Libra moon, so I'm a really peaceful kind of person. And I go within too much. I'm too introverted, so I find that I find it hard to come out of myself. But I think there's times when you really need to, you know, find that anger and use it. But we're talking about reacting, responding, and then being proactive. So if you have that anger within you, you can use it to respond and you can use it to be proactive, and you can then complete it, the situation where both of you do win, or the person who's in the wrong has a justified response rather than things getting worse.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. For me, when I'm in a situation where I've been triggered and there's an anger response, and if it feels justified, particularly if it feels justified, I need to take it away for a while and then come back, because what I'm going to be expressing to the other person is that I felt angry when you did whatever, when you said whatever. And if I don't take it away, I'm just going to start shouting and reacting in an angry fashion instead of coming back to the table in a calm, more rational state of mind and expressing my anger in a constructive fashion, so that I'm not regurgitating or I'm not accelerating a forest fire, which is what has frequently happened in my distant past. And it's very rare that that happens anymore. When it does, it means that I haven't been taking care of myself. If I'm taking care of myself, then I don't fall into that trap. But if I'm if I'm already out of sorts, feeling hungry or angry or overtired, something like that, then I'm going to be very vulnerable to becoming reactive. And so I noticed that we do have somebody in the studio, and I happen to know who it is. It's Al. Shall we go and see what Al has to say, Kat?
Love to hear from Al.
Okay. Al,
well,
hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. It's been a wonderful discussion. I've loved what you both have said, and I find you both very relatable because you've shared so many personal experiences. One thing that came up for me when I listened to you both was I noticed that two things that I do for myself when I'm dealing sometimes reactive is I notice that oftentimes over my lifetime, I've realized that a lot of times when somebody says something to me that feels hurtful or they want to hurt me, that oftentimes it's coming from an issue of their own. And although it might feel like it's about me, it's often really about them. And when I take the time to reflect about that how people mm-hmm. choose to react to us often comes from their own hurts and disappointments and whatnot. It creates some empathy for me for that person, even though in the moment what they're doing feels a little hurtful, and that helps me not to be reactive. And the other thing, just on my part, when I'm feeling reactive, is I'm most likely to react to somebody when the buttons that get pushed for them are the same buttons that get pushed for me. So, so it works the other way too. I notice that when I'm feeling reactive, it's oftentimes because I'm kind of re-stimulated by how they're acting towards me, because it brings up some of my own stuff where I might have been hurt in the past. So I guess what I'm saying is that I notice that sometimes when there's reaction between two people, it's either about my own stuff that's interacting with them, or it's about their old stuff that's causing them to say and do things that feel like it's directed to me, but it might not be. And that helps me to just stay in a calmer place and be a little more proactive. And I have been reactive in the past also, and I'm much better about not being, but there's still instances when somebody touches on a place where I'm particularly vulnerable, where I've been particularly hurt in the past, and I kind of have to do, like you both talked about, I have to walk away, because it's just, my mind is not in a place where I can be rational and proactive in that moment. If I stay, I know I'm going to react. It works better for me if I can come back at a later time, not avoid it, but just come back at a later time. And, you both said so many, wonderful, wonderful things. You said one thing earlier about, sometimes, people are prodding you to react. They want you to react. They're goading you to react. What is it you think? Where do you think that comes from with someone in someone else, that they want that out of you?
I think it's voyeuristic to some degree. I think they want to watch the show. I think possibly there's some control there with some people. A lot of people don't think for themselves, so they get reactionary responses from watching television shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that some reaction responses I've been particularly interested in that theory, and I've then deliberately watched mainstream television shows that I knew people in my society were watching to see if those reactions were happening, and they were. So they're written into television shows. So then that becomes something people, whether they consciously or subconsciously realize it, are then choosing to do in their own lives. The difference is in a television show, in a soap opera, for example, everybody gets on with their lives swimmingly. They're all stinking rich. They're all almost fornicating with a relative. They're all incredibly beautiful. None of them go to the toilet or shower. And, it's just it's a bubble. It's not a real life at all. So that's where people have to wake up to themselves and realize that what they're seeing on the TV is not necessarily art imitating life. It's rather just a bunch of writers putting together some dialogue for a ridiculous soap opera. But people will take these things on and create massive dramas for themselves. So, I think you need to think for yourself quite often in life, and in particular, especially around lovers, you've got to really think for yourself, because if you go down the soap opera route, you can end up having all sorts of problems for yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And, you said something else earlier that's somewhat related to what you just said, too, about people have these expectations about how one is supposed to react, and they put those expectations on us. And for people that are having trouble in relationships, if you start talking to others about, what you should do, that becomes really apparent that people have some very strong opinions about how you should react. People saying, well, you should have kicked their ass out to the curb or it's not always about, you should see a counselor and take some time to kind of figure out what's going on for the two of you. And, that's just an example of how some people have this expectation that you shouldn't put up with anything and that should be the end of it and just kick them out. Just react strongly in that moment.
I think that some of that has.
Well, what that brings to mind for me is that there are two sides to every story.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us can see we're clouded by whatever is going on in our part of the story, so that we can only see part of what's going on, and we're missing some of the other part. And I liked what you were saying, Al, about the empathy piece, trying to think in terms of what may have triggered that person's response, that it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with you. That's just that's the trigger, but it's some buried hurt or distress from their past that they're reacting to and throwing out at you. And that's not an easy challenge to deal with by any means. And I think that's why it's important to try to remove yourself from the situation and try to get a handle on where the other person might be coming from to de-escalate the feelings that you might have within yourself. And that is a real challenge for me to do that. But I've come to see in my own primary relationship that I realize that he, like I, have had some big hurts in the past, and that these are triggered under certain circumstances, and that, yes, there may be certain things that are going on that need to be addressed, but the larger issue is that it really has very little to do with what's going on in the present. It's old stuff, and we all have old stuff that gets triggered, and so it takes a while to kind of put things into perspective, and that's why I think it's important to take a time out and try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and then come back to the table and express where you're at from a feeling state rather than getting into this blame game of, you did this and blah, 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 blah. That to me is very unconstructive. Is that resonating for either of you?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
How do you?
Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I mean, one other thing that I have been doing is with the permission of somebody that is a friend or somebody that's a little skilled in listening to things, have let my feelings out with them, not with the person that I'm having a problem with, but just as an opportunity to get the feelings out there. Because if I can get the feelings out there and get past the reaction and the feelings, I can get to this other place where I'm calmer and where I can work with the doing something more proactive. And it's really worked well for me, because I've been pretty good lately about You know, when I do talk to somebody after having had the opportunity elsewhere to have my feelings, I deal with the situation pretty well, you know, because I'm thinking rationally. I'm not just caught up in the emotions anymore. I had the chance to get those out. It's kind of like what you said you did, Kat, about like screaming in the car into a pillow. It's, you know, I just happen to have a human being on the other end of that, but it's the same thing. And sometimes they offer, you know, some, you know, they can help me, lead me to a more rational place where I can think better about the situation.
You were going to ask Al a question, Kat.
How do you feel? Yeah. I was going to ask Al, I'd love to hear his take on how you feel. I liked what you said, Ben, and I was wondering if that actually answered my question, but I'd like to take it a step further. When you choose to respond overreacting, so you know the reaction is there, it's within you and it is welling up, but you decide to respond instead, what happens within you? Can you explain that? I mean, you'd be a pretty mature guy, so mature emotionally. So how do you take it from, right, I want to just explode, to, okay, I'm going to respond to this in a manner that is more measured? How do you feel? How do you feel in your body as well as in your emotions? That would be where I'd want to go.
Well, my body feels tense and tight, and my breathing feels shallower, you know, because I'm upset or I'm angry or I'm hurt or whatever. I think what I sometimes have to do is notice my breath. I have to just start breathing in a measured, calm way to try to bring myself back into a little bit of an alignment. I have to slow my thoughts down. You know, if I let my thoughts just keep racing, I'm gonna end up in that reaction. You know, so I have to just slow everything down. I have to breathe deeply. You know, and if I can't do that, if they're really touching me in a place where I'm really vulnerable and easily hurt, you know, I have to walk away. You know, and if none of that happens and I say something hurtful to somebody else, you know, then I've got to, you know, I have to come back later and try to clean that up. But that's a lot more difficult, you know, because when you get to that place, you're both likely to have said some things that are really hurtful. And it's a lot harder to clean things up afterwards than it is to just not say them in the first place. Because you know, I'm sure I've said things I don't really mean. You know, when you get into that place where you want to hurt one another because you're so upset with each other, it's not a good place.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's one more piece to the puzzle is, you know, when you're in a reactive place and you do something hurtful or you respond in kind to some unkindness that's been done to you, then you have more shit to clean up. And I like what you had to say. I like the way you laid the whole experience before us. It really made sense to me, the steps that you take to get to that place so that you don't get into the hurt, be getting hurt situation.
I think sometimes when people observe somebody else trying to be calm, it gets into what you talked about earlier, Kat, about the drama part, because some people just come from this place where when they see you being calm, they feel like you don't care, that it's not really important to you because you're not reacting like they expect you should react, you know, that you should be really upset or you should be shouting back at them. And if you're not doing that, then you don't really care or you're not involved in the situation, which isn't the truth. You know, it comes from their own drama. I don't know. Do you have any comments about what you were saying earlier about trauma?
I that I'm from a different planet, and I'm not one of the humans. So I've been on a lifelong learning experience of social interaction with other people. So I can only say what I've done, which is I've gone and got educated on how to interact with people, and I've learned that some people just really like drama, and they will create drama, and they do it because they enjoy the rush of the drama. Mm-hmm. They enjoy talking about their drama. They enjoy the victimization of themselves and others. Mm-hmm. And it's a strange manifesto to be enjoying drama, but there are many people out there that enjoy it and will mm-hmm. create it and will revel in it. They're mm-hmm. people I avoid. I can't cope with that. It's too much noise mm-hmm. and it's too much emotional fracture for me to cope with. When there's somebody who's being rude to me or is being in a particular emotional verbal way towards me that is quite aggressive and controlling, I go into fight, flight or freeze, and I tend to freeze. And the reason I do it is because of my childhood. So it's been a lifelong experience for me to observe myself and to learn what to do next. And so I've gotten educated on it because actually the freezing is a reaction. It's not a response. Mm-hmm. I know why it happened. I grew up in a house where my parents yelled at each other a lot, and my elder brothers were angry, and so was I. And being the smallest and the youngest, I guess that was my way of coping. But it doesn't serve you as an adult if someone's putting upon you in such a way. And it's a drama thing as well. And so I guess I shy away from drama because there was a lot of it in my life as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I think what we have to do really is educate ourselves. That has worked for me massively. I watch a lot of YouTube videos by psychologists who talk about, you know, the correct response towards someone who's being rude to you at work, the correct response towards somebody who's trying to cheat you out of money. There's lots of different psychologists out there that have YouTube videos I'd recommend to people, and also the ultimate question, who am I? Exploring that will help as well.
Mm-hmm.
But where I was going with the question about how do you feel, Al, when you go from reaction to response and you make that choice in that moment, is it's just sort of wanting to shift the conversation a bit towards the response and proaction part of it, if that's okay, David.
Absolutely.
I think that's really,
absolutely. Yeah, let's do that because
you need to go into that outcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, when I'm in that situation where I feel like I need to react, and then I decide, no, this is not working. I mean, recently, one of my big bugbears is people not taking personal responsibility when it's more than obvious they've done something wrong. And that happened recently. My reaction was to walk away. Was it a response? Maybe. I don't know, but I knew the person was not taking personal responsibility. I chose not to get into an argument or point it out. Rather, I just let them fall on their sword. I walked away. The people around them copped them self-defending, and they just kept, you know, telling more and more about their defense. And I had a conversation with one of those people a couple of days later, and that person understood what was going on and understood that this person should have taken personal responsibility in exactly what they were doing afterwards. So I didn't need to point it out. Everybody else knew, but it didn't wake the person up who did it. Was that my place? I don't think so in that dynamic. So I don't know if I did the right or the wrong thing, but I feel that I did. And I guess that's what you really have to sort of choose, you know, at that point, that what's the right response and where is the proaction going to go from there? My proaction was to check in with somebody else and feel maybe that I was correct in my response and in my interpretation by checking with somebody else. But I also made sure that there was no drama created in the heat of the moment and also in the checking in with the other person, because I didn't want to then cause he said, she said, you know, and that person goes back to the other person's situation. I didn't want to do that. So how do you guys feel about that? Have you come across a situation like that? And, you know, what would you do?
Well, I'm kind of hung up on something that you were saying earlier, because it's a pet peeve, if you will, of mine. Not a pet peeve, it's just something that I try to keep in the back of my mind, and that is that the best way for me to be proactive, you were talking about toxic people, people that engaged in drama. The best way for me to be proactive is to consider the source, be it a person, a place, or a thing. And if I place myself in a situation where there is where people are toxic, where I know there's drama, then I only have myself to blame. And so I really need to make that choice up front if I'm going to be proactive, to avoid placing myself in situations or involved with people that are going to bring that stuff forward. Of course, you know, you can't, that's in an ideal world. And, you know, there even people that are not normally dramatic or reactive can, we're all human, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So we all can fall prey to those types of feelings and emotions and situations. And I think that, you know, some of the things that I've heard tonight are very constructive for dealing with not placing yourself in a place where you need to react. And, you know, it's just some of the simple things like Al was saying about breathing and slowing your mind down and discharging, not with the person that has provoked the reaction, but with somebody else. Because I know if I've got something going on that's causing me upset, I've got to get it off my chest, because otherwise it becomes toxic to me, and it can become toxic in the context of the relationship where it may have stemmed from. If I take that back without first discharging the energy behind it, I'm going to start World War III. So I don't know. I don't know if that addresses anything that you were just asking, Kat, but because I was kind of hung up on something that you'd said earlier.
No, I think it's right. You know, later on, you need to talk to somebody, and that's where a counselor, you know, advisor is really, really good. But we need to be mindful. I think mindfulness, would you agree, Al, that mindfulness really is the key to switch from reaction to response and proaction?
I do agree.
Feel about that?
Oh, very, very much so, yeah, because if we're not observing our own thoughts and our own reaction, we're off to a bad start right there, because we're just going on automatic at that point and without the mindfulness. And you know what, Kat, when you were talking about that situation too, what you said I thought was so key, that this person did not take responsibility. And that almost in my mind, that almost immediately determined your response about walking away from that situation, because a person is not going to, they don't have to take responsibility for the whole situation, but they have to take responsibility for their part in it. And if they're not willing to do that, then, you know, where are you going to go constructively with that with them? And it's, you know, if they're not willing to at least go through that process of noticing the part that they may have had in a situation. So, yeah, it did seem proactive to me what you said you did, you know, and then to check in with someone else.
Yeah, I think if we, it's not always good to walk away, but I think that sometimes walking away and grumbling to yourself is far better than turning around and telling them exactly what you think of them or trying to wake them up because they're in that delusion for whatever reason. And you have to think about the relationship you have with the other person and what's to gain and what's to lose before you indulge yourself in telling them exactly what you think. Because there may be a lot to lose. And you don't want to cause a massive disruption that can then affect other people in your life. You're much better to just cool off, go for a walk, and address it either with that person again, if you have that kind of relationship with them, or if you know that they're awake enough to do that, otherwise go and speak to somebody else. And I agree with David.
Are you still there, Kat? You know, this has happened to us many times, Al. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
Yeah, Kat, God bless our connection with Australia, but we get cut off a lot, and that apparently is what has happened here. So I think... let's see. Kat says, oh no, that's from another day. Well, I think this is probably a good place to wrap things up. Normally we would go into a meditation, but it has been just about an hour. Is there anything that you would like to say, Al, before I close the show?
Well, I wanted to comment about what you said about avoiding situations and people that you know are going to just stir things up for you. I really relate to that, and I think my life is a lot calmer now because of the people I've chosen to have in it, and it makes it easier for me to be a more centered person when I stay away from those people and situations that are just going to make my life more difficult. And I guess that's it. And I just wanted to say that you guys just did a wonderful. It was a wonderful program tonight. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, well,
thank you.
You both
had so many great things to say.
Well, Kat is saying that she's going to tune into her computer for the end of the show. Well, maybe we can say that again for Kat's benefit. I'm glad that the show spoke to you, and Kat is... a wonderful person to discuss different topics with. She's very insightful. Of course, it's helpful that we both quite frequently are on the same page and tend to think alike. But we try to explore both sides of the coin. And so I think that's what was really... neat about tonight's show is that we were looking at two sides of a coin. And, you know, likewise, it's a good metaphor for relationships, too, because it takes two to tango, and each person has got their own story and their own energy that they bring to a relationship and their own positives and negatives within the context of that relationship. So, you know, thank you for the feedback, Al. That's very nice. Why don't you say it one more time, because Kat's listening.
Kat, I was telling David that I thought that you both did had a wonderful show tonight with so many good things to say, and I just thoroughly enjoyed everything that you both had to say. And I, you know, Kat, I liked that you wanted to bring things around to being proactive and wanting to end the show that way I don't mean a positive note per se, but I mean on a positive direction to bring the show around to that kind of an end. I thought that was really smart thing.
Well, Al, thank you very much for your participation tonight. Kat is typing something on Facebook. I'll just wait 1 minute to close until she says the show cuts off at the 1:11, so she didn't hear what you had to say. So she can listen to it. She can listen to it on the podcast. You know, I'll remind her of that. But I'm sure she'll appreciate what you had to say. And we're going to skip the meditation tonight since we're past 9:30. And I wish everybody that's been listening tonight that you let your friends know that we are on now Sunday nights at 8:30 Eastern Time. So please join us and feel free to suggest topics that you might want to have us discuss on the show. You can send them to me at my email address, which you can find when you go to the show itself, blogtalkradio.com/AuthorDavidClark. All right. Good night, everybody. And thank you, Al.
Okay. Good night.